Well, amen. You can have a crown as well to cast at Christ's feet one of these days. Visitors, if this is your first time with us today, we're glad that you're here this morning. We have several first-time visitors with us today. We are glad that you are here with us today, and you get to keep the pen. Everybody's looking for a good pen all the time. We want to give you one, and we do not guarantee the quality or the longevity of the ink, but you get to have it. Well, we are glad that you're here today. Thank you so much for everyone that came by yesterday and to see our house, and we just want to thank everyone for coming and for all the good time that we had. No one burnt our house down. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord for that. And we had a good time yesterday, and so praise the Lord for that as well. Again, if you ever want to come by, you're more than welcome. Come by anytime. And if you didn't have a chance yesterday, you come by next Saturday. If we're there, we'll let you in. And if anything, you do some laundry for us or something like that. You never know. But we're glad for that. If you have your Bibles, and if you would be willing, if you're able to stand in honor of God's Word this morning, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter number 5, we're going to be reading verse 13 down through the end of the chapter. Lord willing, we're going to make this a two-part series this morning and this evening, so you'll want to come back tonight to hear the rest of it. We're going to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, down through to verse number 21. So God says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. I'm thankful for all of our first-time visitors that are here with us today. But we have some guests here that we've been praying for a long time. And we're thankful for them being here, Lord, and bringing them to this place. And we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, speak to their hearts, Lord. We just pray that you speak to our hearts as well. Well, we pray, God, there's anyone here today that's never placed their faith and trust in you. Lord, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that even today you give them the courage to come and call upon you as the Lord and personal Savior. Lord, help us today as we learn from your word today. Lord, speak to our hearts and give us the message we need to hear today. Lord, bless our missionaries today as they labor in their respective places of the world, as they present the gospel, Lord, in different languages and different places. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless them as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing for God's word. You know, in an ever-increasing rate, it seems that to get anything done in this world, you have to know the right people or have to have the right friends, right power, or money. It's getting to the parts of our world, especially if you're in politics, the more people you know, or the right people you know, or the certain positioned people you know, the more you can seem like you can get away with, or that you can do, or that you can accomplish. And we know that. We know that the more that we know, the more people that we know, the better off it seems like we are. Politics have proven that the right combination can get you out of just about anything, and will just about get anything done that you need. And we as Christians, however, we are blessed in this way because we, as John has shown through all of 1 John, but really in our text this morning, that we have the right person on our side, and he has given us some great power. How many of you have ever had a friend that was bigger than everyone else, and he was your friend? Anyone like that? See, I was a really, have you ever seen Landon right back here? He's the guy right back there. There's not much to him. He doesn't have, as I like to call it, he doesn't have a whole lot of insulation. And so he relies on, or I relied on when I was a teenager, somebody bigger than me. So when you're like me, or like my son Landon, it's always important to go find somebody and be their friend that's at least 2 to 3 times bigger than you are. Why? Because then you can do whatever you want, because that's my friend. And so it depends on sometimes who you know and what you know and where you are. But today I want us to see, I want us to know some things this morning. Really, this whole series, this whole two-part series, it's all about what we know that we have. And so this morning I want us to see what we have this morning. And because we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, or that we can know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, we can know an individual who is the most powerful of all. And his name is Jesus Christ. There's no one greater. There's no one more powerful. He gives us abilities to do things that no one else can do. And I want us to see some things this morning that we can know that we have this morning, that we can have some confidence in this world. One thing that we know that we have less of is money. I mean, you have less money nowadays because of things that are happening. I remember back when gas was 99 cents a gallon. Some of y'all remember when it was a little cheaper than that. But, you know, I only go back so far, and then people go farther back than me. But when I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College, there was a gas station right around the corner, and it was 99 cents a gallon. And I thought that was expensive. When I got to the one, I was like, man, gas is so expensive. And now my sister says it's about $6.99 where she's at. So praise the Lord, we don't live in California. But there's some things that we know that we can have. So first of all, I want us to see this morning, first of all, the Bible says in verse number 13, we may have everlasting life. Look what it says in verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, these promises that we're going to read this morning and look at this morning and tonight as well are promises that are only given to a specific group of people. They're only given to those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. John is going to help us understand that there are some promises that we can have, that we can hold on to, that we can have that the rest of the world does not have. And that should give us joy. It should give us some confidence in our life to know that I have everlasting life. But the Bible says here in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And God says this is a promise to us that we may have everlasting life. And it's important to note in our text here that it's all written in the subjunctive. How many of you like English? Any of you here like English? There's a few people that like English. I know some will say that the King James is hard to read, but in reality, over 3/4 of the entire King James Bible is written in one syllable words. It's really not hard to understand. Some of us just didn't do as good in English. I'm kidding about that. But I want you to notice in verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. One of the great things that being a missionary in Argentina that we got to learn was Spanish. We got to learn Castellano, but we got to learn it from a lady that had 3 master's degrees in Spanish, and she was teaching us, and she was really teaching us. And one of the good things about Spanish is in the verbs, all of the verb forms is where you find all your conjugations. If you can get your verbs down and get the verbs down, you can pretty much do pretty well. And one of the things they teach you is that they have about 9 different conjugations in Spanish, and it's, I mean, you can get way out there, and most Argentines have no idea what they are either, because if you ask what an Argentine what a plusquam perfecto is, they look at you like, what in the world is that? But here in our English, this word if is written in the subjunctive conjugation, and it means that there is an opportunity to have something that others do not have. It's written in a form that John is going to give us these promises, that these promises in verse 13 all the way through to verse number 21, that only certain people have these promises and that there is a qualifier in order to proclaim them or to possess them within your own personal life. Meaning that God says, I want to give to you everlasting life, but not everybody on this planet, on this earth, has everlasting life. Only those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior has everlasting life. And John says, I want to give you something, and encourage you in something that should give you a smile on your face and give you some joy within your heart. The world can be in a tough place nowadays, and it can be a difficult place. It can be an unsure place. But one thing that I have that no one else has in this world is everlasting life. And it gives me joy. And I want you to notice here that it's written in the subjunctive, and it's written with may have a promise. If you look there in verse number 13, and these things that have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This written in the subjunctive, it's a promise, but it's given to someone who would call upon him, and that you can have everlasting life. This word, ye may know, this phrase, ye may know, means to be perfectly assured by experience. And we can experience it. I can experience it in my life. I want you to understand that. I try not to, something to consider. Once you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, if you've been given everlasting life, and your everlasting life extends for and forever, for infinity. It's eternal past, it's eternal future. Now that I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior, but God says you may have it, and it's not something that you can lose. How many of you ever lose your keys? Just 2 days ago, Miss Oster was stressing out. She's running everywhere. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? She couldn't find her phone, and it was tucked under her arm the whole time. She's just running around. She couldn't find her phone. And Landon's like, it's right there, Mom. Oh, okay. She's just stressing out. We can lose all kinds of things, but my friends, it's impossible to lose everlasting life. If you have it, it's yours. God says in John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so God says that we may believe and that no one is rejected. It's interesting in our text here that John never uses the word can. He doesn't say that we can have everlasting life, or that we can be saved, or that we can have our prayers answered. He said we may have our prayers answered. Again, here, we're going to learn some English again today. How many of you have ever asked, your children always ask you something, Dad, can I go outside? Anybody ever ask in high school, can I graduate from high school? You know how I always answer my boys? Well, can you? I don't know. Can you go outside? I don't know if you're physically... I do have a big dog back there. He may jump on you. But can you go outside? When we say that, it's improper English. Really, the correct way to say it is, may I go outside? It's interesting, and the reason why John uses that, because if I ever say that I can have everlasting life, it would mean that I have the ability to do it of my own. Dad, can I go outside? Well, can you go outside? Well, sure, I can go outside. I can walk, I can open the door, I can go outside. And so he's done that, he's earned that, he's merited going outside of his own. John never uses, can I have everlasting life, or that I can have everlasting life, because then it would mean that I supersede the authority and power of God and I earn it for myself, I give it for myself. But if I say that John says, may I have everlasting life, or that I may know, it's because then someone else gave it to me. I didn't earn salvation for myself. I didn't possess it of myself. And you know when people give you something, it means more to you? Have you ever bought your own birthday card? What you doing in there? I'm getting me a birthday card. Well, happy birthday. Whose birthday is it? It's mine. Buy myself a birthday card. No. We like it when other people give us things. And then they mean more to us, right? We have all of our trinkets and we have all of our stuff. And then eventually when we pass away, all of our kids are going to go through all of our stuff and say, why did they keep all this junk? What do we do with it now? It doesn't mean anything to them because they didn't have it. But Jesus Christ and John test there that we may have everlasting life. It's something that God has given to us and is precious to us. It's something that we can keep and we can have forever. And God says he'll protect us and he'll give us that everlasting life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Where does that confidence come from? Where does that happiness come from? Where does that peace come from? It comes from what God gives to me. He gives me everlasting life. And I can have it. And I know that it's mine forever. My brother, when he went to the army, he made his drill sergeant angry, actually. And he was there. And he said, I was in the row with everybody. And as soon as you get off the bus, they just immediately begin to yell at you. And they were telling you, and this drill sergeant came along and he said, your clothes are mine, everything is mine, everything is mine, everything is mine, your house is mine, your life is mine. And he was going on and going on. He got to my brother and he was yelling in my brother's face and he says, don't you agree? My brother said, no, sir. He said, what do you mean, no, sir? He's everything of yours is mine. He said, no, sir, my salvation is mine. You can't have it. It's the Lord's. The drill sergeant kind of got quiet and he walked away because that kind of got awkward there. Made it rough for him. But it was true. Of all the things that I could lose in my life, I cannot lose my salvation. Because I didn't earn it of myself. God gave it to me. He says, you can have it, and you can know that you have it. You ought to write it down in your Bible the day that you got saved, the day that you trusted in Christ, your Lord and personal Savior. And you should be able to look back to that time and say, I can remember the time that God gave it to me. God says in John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that God let you believe in him? Says you can do it. You can have everlasting life. There's no one that's turned away. There's no one that's denied. There's no one that's abandoned. There's no one that's left to the side. Jesus Christ said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning, if you never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you never called upon him, Jesus Christ says, come and drink of the water of life freely. And I'll give to you everlasting life, and you'll never lose it. What did he tell the woman at the well? Remember what he told the woman at the well? If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. It's yours forever, so that we may have everlasting life. Second of all, we have confidence. Verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Aren't you glad when people listen to us? Some wives are elbowing some husbands. How many times have we heard this before, husbands? Well, I told you that last week, babe, and you didn't listen to me. All right, you're the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. But aren't you glad to know this morning that if we believed on Jesus Christ, and I know that I have Christ within my heart and life, now we can ask of anything that we need. The Bible says there in verse number 15, if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him, we may ask. God says, I want you to ask me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to give me your request. He wants to hear from you. If God gives you something, he wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to give him your burdens, give him your petitions. He wants to hear those things. But again, it's also written in a qualifier. If you read verse number 14, I'd like us to read this last phrase together. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, we can ask for anything, but it must be in his will. What does God say in Psalms? God says, if thou delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But we have to delight ourselves in God. We have to ask according to his will. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many of you have ever asked your dad for something? Okay, most of you have known, like my dad, it doesn't do you any good. Because most of my dad, he'll do this. Go talk to your mom. Because he's been making decisions all day long on the flight line in the Air Force. And when he gets home, he don't want to make decisions no more. He just wants to sit in his chair, maybe turn on some golf or something, and just relax and wind down from the day. So go talk to your mom. So we really know who to ask. It was mom. And then most of the time, she would say, go talk to your dad. So then we were in this infinite loop. We're like, all right, let's just go back to our room. But they do like it when we ask. They do like it when we go talk to them, when we communicate with them, when we ask them. But one thing God says he wants us to do is he wants us to ask according to his will. Is it God's will that we ask for $1 million every time we pray? Maybe. It may be God's will for you to have that. We accept tithe and we accept missions. Kidding, of course. But I'm going to help you out. It's probably not God's will for you to ask that you win the lottery. Because Christians don't play the lottery. So asking God for something that's really not his will, God says he's not going to answer that question. Because remember, that's what God said. Now, if I ask according to his will, he heareth us. We know from the word of God what we're to ask for. The things that he delight in. The things that he had delight in his life. Have you ever asked God, Lord, give me a soul to win to Christ this week? We know that's God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But God says, I'll give you that if you ask for it. Have you ever asked God, would you take my children and send them to a foreign field? Would you take my grandchildren and send them to a missionary in a foreign field? You know, there's no greater feeling than to visit someone that your family on the foreign field is a missionary. Oh, man, that's a great feeling. It's an awesome thing. But God says, I will hear you so long as we ask according to his will. We can have our prayers answered. We can have our prayers blessed and accepted by God. God says the most important prayer that he would like to hear is, Lord, save me. The prayer that God wants and desires to hear the most is, Lord, forgive me a sinner. I believe in you, but you come into my heart and save me. God says in Revelations that he stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hear will open up, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. God says, that's the prayer that I want to hear. If you've never prayed that prayer, my friend today, he's listening. He's waiting to hear from you and he'll answer you and he'll give to you everlasting life. Have you ever felt like your prayers were just kind of bouncing off the ceiling, coming right back to you? Have you ever typed in an email address and it got immediately rejected back to you in your mailbox, cannot find address, and it got bounced right back to you? The reason why we feel that way is because the Lord's convicting us and telling us, you're not asking according to my will. If you ask according to my will, I hear you and I answer you. Thirdly, we have wisdom. Thirdly, we have wisdom. The next two verses are, for many, very hard verses to understand or really even interpret in the Bible. I want to read them so we can get some understanding. Verse number 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. These next two verses are really some of the most difficult to understand and yet maybe even interpret in the Bible. Therefore, it's necessary for us as we follow the context and follow what God is saying here from verse number 13 all the way through to verse number 21. What is he talking about? It's interesting. Most of my books are in boxes, but our pastor has lots and lots of books. And he probably, from this verse right here alone, I can promise you, he can probably find more ways to explain this verse than there are even books in the Bible. But it's really, if we study the context and if we look at what God is saying, it's really not hard for us to understand with the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And the context is asking for forgiveness, verse number 15, asking for forgiveness. And so we know verse number 13 and 14 is for eternal life. And so God says, if we ask according to God's will, believing in him, that he will hear us and hear our prayers. And so God wants us to understand that there are those that are brothers or sisters in Christ who may not be in a right relationship with God, and he wants us to pray for other people. Why? Because we do not know their spiritual state. I want to help us to understand that this morning. Brother, our pastor, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior? Yes, he does. Wants to help us understand. He knows that. Now, we saw a few weeks ago, remember we studied in James. Now, James was taught justification between men. So in other words, if pastor says that he knows Jesus Christ is Lord and personal Savior, it is then his responsibility to live a life and live his lifestyle in such a way now that I then can have confidence in his statement that he knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. When he passes from this life and God calls him home and we have a memorial service for him, I feel in great confidence in myself that I can say I know, or I have confidence that Brother Gray is in heaven today. Why? Because he has lived a life that matches what his knowledge and matches what he knows he says that he has within his life. But really, there's only two people who truly know whether he said the truth or not. Him and God. He's confident. And I believe with full confidence that our pastor knows Jesus Christ and he has a right relationship with God. And he and his wife are a fabulous, wonderful example of a godly couple and a godly pastor to Harvest Baptist Church. And I fully have confidence in their testimony and in what they say that they believe. But John is saying, and he looked out to his crowd, and it wasn't any different back then as it is today, that he looked out and he looked to his own life and he says, I know that I have Jesus Christ within my life. I know how it affects me. I know how it changes my life. I know how it guides me. I know how I can have my prayers answered. I know how God deals within my life. And he looks over and he sees that there are other brothers and sisters in Christ, and they aren't living like they know they have everlasting life. And he wonders, if I know Jesus Christ in my life and I've experienced him and I know what Christ is in my heart and life and I know the Holy Spirit within my heart and life, so I know what the Bible says how I should live, how then can it be possible for they to say or claim Christianity and yet live the way that they live and walk in the way that they walk? If you notice in our text in verse 13, 14, and then after 18, 19, and 20, John lists no many, many times. But in verse number 16 and 17, the word no is not found because John says, I don't know another brother's true spiritual Christian identity, but I can see their life. I can see that the way they live. I can see the way they talk. William Barclay said of this verse, Now in life is a fact of experience, there are two kinds of sinners. So long as a man in his heart hates sin and hates himself for sinning, so long that he knows he is sinning, is never beyond repentance and therefore never beyond forgiveness. But once a man begins to revel in sin and make the sin deliberate policy of his life and loses all sense of the terror and awfulness of sin and also the feelings of self-disgust, he is on the way to death, for he is on the way to a state where the idea of repentance will not and cannot enter his head. Another commentator said it this way, the sin unto death is the state of man who has listened to sin so often and refused to listen to God so often that he's come to a state where he loves his sin and regards sin as the most profitable thing in the world. And my friends, today, that's a dangerous place for a person to be. In our text there in verse number 16, again, there's an very important, very, very important word. It's right in the middle of the word there, right in the middle of the text. It says, and he shall give life for them that sin not unto death. This word unto is a very important word. It's a preposition. It means towards or going to. In other words, John can look out and I know, and he says, I know I have this promise and I hang on to this promise that I know what I have in my life. And I look over and I see a brother or sister in Christ and I can see, and they may have told me in the past that they've said a prayer or they used to live for God or they used to do this. And I know what he's done in my life and I know what he expects in my life, and I know the prayers that he answers in my life. And then I look over to this person who says or has told me maybe in the past that they're a Christian, they're a child of God, and yet they live the way that they live, and they talk the way that they talk, and they act the way that they act, and yet they do those things. They're on their way to destruction. Sin is always destructive. It always leads to death. I can imagine maybe even John now as he thinks back to a man named Judas. Judas was an apostle. He walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. He heard the messages of the Lord. He heard all of those things, and yet he remained lost. He told lots of people, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet he was on his way unto destruction. He was lost. But this is what John says to us. Since I know that I have everlasting life, I know then that I can pray for my brothers or sisters in Christ that they live righteously. I may not know their true spiritual state, but I can see what the sin is doing in their life. I can see the devastation in their life. You see, I can only take one's own word for their salvation, but I can certainly see the devastation of sin has taken place in their life. But God says this is what gives us confidence. I can pray for them. I can show some love to them. I can show some concern for them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 27, that it's my responsibility to provoke them to love and to do good works. You see, I cannot repent for another man's sins, but I can certainly pray that they repent of their own sins. I can pray for them to return their life back to Christ, and I can have that because I know that I can have it in my own personal life. And so John says, all unrighteousness is sin. There's a sin not unto death. You see, God says that he's willing to forgive. He's willing to restore a relationship. God says if we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh unto us. The Bible says in James 4:17 that therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is devastating. John says we can know. We can know that we have everlasting life. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior, God says there's an expectation. There's a knowledge that I need to live a certain way. I need to walk a certain way. I need to have a testimony of a certain type. God says, there's another thing I know. I know I can pray for those who need it. When's the last time you had a burden for someone that you saw that wasn't walking for Christ as they ought to? When's the last time you thought about just coming to an altar, not praying for your needs, but praying for someone else? Praying, Lord, would you bring that person back to Christ? Would you bring that person back to a right walk with God? Lord, maybe they might have said, Lord, I know they told me a while back that they said a prayer and they said that they were saved, but Lord, I look at their life and I see the way that they live, and Lord, if it's not real, if it's not truth in their life, would you give me the courage to be the testimony, be the witness that they ought to be, to get them back into church so that maybe they can have that opportunity? Because my friends, there will be those who stand before God and say, have I not done mighty wondrous works in thy name? And God will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There may be someone that you know hasn't been in church in a long time. When's the last time you've been at the altar and prayed for them? Lord, would you get them back to church? Would you get them back into God's word? Lord, I know that you hear me. I know that you hear the words that I pray. Salvation that I have within my heart and life. Lord, would you do whatever it takes to bring them back to you? Would you do whatever it takes to bring them back to a right walk with God, a right confidence with God? We have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Could I ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? What is your testimony? Has there been a time in your life where you truly repented of your sins, called upon Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? That's what it means to believe on the name Jesus Christ. When we believe by faith, we call upon him, repentance of our sins, and God says, I will give to you everlasting everlasting life. Wouldn't you like to live forever? Jesus Christ said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Believest thou this? You can have everlasting life. There's many folks within this room, I truly believe, know that they have everlasting life. But perhaps there's some here today. They've been living a Christian life, yet they do not have Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. They've been living a life of a whited sepulcher, as it says in Romans. They look good on the outside, but God knows on the inside. It's full of dead men's bones. My friends, we can sing the songs and be faithful to church, but that does not grant us everlasting life. My friends, also today, if we know that we have the petitions answered of God, if we ask according to His will, do you have a right relationship with God? Do you have a right relationship with God? Did you spend time with God even this morning? Christians today, can we think of someone in our heart today that might have told us in the past, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and yet we see their life and we have to wonder? When was the last time you spent some time at the altar? God, would you even use me? Use my testimony to either bring them back to a right relationship to God or to show them how they can truly know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. How about you today? How about you? As our brother begins to sing, as the music begins to play, as we stand to our feet this morning, could I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you know someone who's not in a right relationship or right walk with God? Would you come